Hallelujah. Thank you, mighty, wonderful Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for the glory that you are. The glory, hallelujah, that you've called us to. The glory to glory that is going on in the lives that believe, that are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And Lord, we do just praise you tonight. And God, we give you the absolute praise. And Jesus, we ask that everything that be said and done, the encouragement that you would bring, that you would make this such a beautiful time in each and every household this evening to show forth that praise be to God. When we gather in the name of Jesus, he's there. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, quicken us. God, help us to look up. Our redemption draweth nigh. And even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Well, I thank God that we are going on in this precious study of these sweet, wonderful, mighty statements of in Christ. Through the Apostle Paul, the assurance that we have of where we are, where we've been placed, and where we forever will be as people of God is in Christ. And tonight I'd like to begin in Galatians chapter 3. And in verse 26, we'll read from there. It says, For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. I thank the Lord for this assurance. I thank God so richly that he has given us this encouragement. And I pray that God tonight just allow us to receive the power of this truth and truly the reality of who we are and how one in Christ we are. I thank God that we can begin with that precious conversation over there in John chapter 17. If you'll turn there, Jesus and his precious Father. In that 11th verse, how mighty this dialogue goes back and forth between the only begotten and his beautiful Father. In verse 11, Jesus says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one." Now think about this. He is speaking this about ones who are already saved. There is a perfection in the oneness in Christ that he is after. Let's go on. Turn over to verse 21 of the 17th chapter of John. It says there, Jesus speaking, "Father, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one." There's an emphasis there that he wants us to see. There's a depth in the oneness in Christ where he wants us to venture. Perfect in one. That word perfect so beautifully is found over and over in the Word of God, especially in the writings of the Apostle Paul. It's speaking to those that have received the Word of God to grow up fully, to grow up into that full maturity as the sons of God that he has given every provision for us to grow up into. Complete, fully finished. Oh, I love that word, consummated. Hallelujah. Perfect in one, that we would dwell together, brothers and sisters. And as we know, that word, those words dwell together means to settle down in marriage. See, there is more love that needs to be grown in our lives and established in us. And it's done specifically as it says in verse 23. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. One of the most assuring and beautiful verses in the Word of God, that they would be assured that the Father has loved them as he loves Jesus. How marvelous. What a joy, unspeakable and full of glory. And brothers and sisters, with that there is no doubt, there is no question. God desires us perfect and complete in all the will of God. He wants us to be finished and complete in this one in Christ which he has made us. Finished in this love. The Word of God tells us that there are no schisms in the body. There's no division. It's one garment. Turn, if you will, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Word of God goes on so sweetly there to tell us of this oneness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are ye all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." How beautiful here. There's truly a double portion that awaits us in this oneness that goes on in Christ. Now, what it's speaking of here in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Gentile, whether bond or free, just like the verse that we started with tonight, that there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, we are one in Christ. Now, all Jewish and Gentile believers were typified in Leviticus 23, those two loaves that were sitting out there. It was sovereign, and it was provisionally, those two were baptized into one body on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, praise God, that was the baptism in the Spirit. And brothers and sisters, at that moment, there is but one loaf. Therefore, we never read of another baptism in the Spirit in the Word of God except for that wonderful moment at Pentecost. The one baptism of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, refers to Pentecost. We'll get there in a little bit, but that's when we were baptized, praise God, in Christ. Hallelujah. Now, where it goes down here into that 13th verse we just read at the very end, and it says, "And have been all made to drink into one Spirit." See, there's two different things there. The first thing was that we were baptized into one Spirit. But now, by the grace of God, there is a drink. There's more. And that there is speaking of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Because we know it was about 10 years later, after Pentecost, that the Gentile drank of that same Spirit, the Holy Ghost, just as those in Acts 2 were filled with the Holy Ghost. You'll find that in Acts 10:47. It says that the Spirit fell upon the Gentiles also, and they were filled, praise God, with the same Holy Ghost. Isn't that wonderful? See, all of that is that one in Christ. So, aren't we thankful that now we are the sons of God? Amen. I'm grateful. I'm hoping, by the grace of God, we're not going by feeling. These last few days, I'm sure a lot of us haven't felt very much but low. But that's one thing about the sons of God. They know it doth not appear what it shall be. But we know one thing. When we see him, oh my, we're going to be like him. And I am grateful to God that we can rest assured that the promises of God are yea and amen. And they never change. The season changes. The things of this life change. But I'll tell you what, the word of God endures forever. But we are the sons of God. And I thank the Lord we didn't, each one of us, get a different life. We got one life when we died with Christ. Each and every child of God has the same life. Christ liveth in us. And I thank the Lord for that. We all are raised in that same life. I thank God it's the life that is that same very image of him. It is the one life, the one spirit in us all. And I thank God that spirit was sent into our hearts to cry out to the Father, Abba, Father. And I believe by the grace of God we have been crying out maybe a little bit more as of late. And thanks be to God for that. Your dad loves to hear from you, and it's time. Praise his name. Now, what a joy and rejoicing to know that the Father loves each and every one of his children the same. Now, he's a wonderful Father, and I know each one of us feel like we're his favorite, and you should, because that's how his love is. But the beautiful thing about our Father is his love is without dissimulation. It's without hypocrisy. It's always the same, completely intense. It's a jealous love, and we are loved by that wondrous, full purpose, everlasting love. He sees us all the same as his only begotten. As we read earlier, that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved I just rejoice how God is so sweetly intimate. He knows our insecurities. He knows that when we fail and we could never live a life that we would, in a sense, hope to live, God made us a certain way. He made us a beautiful way. He made us vessels of mercy. We're going to need mercy. We're going to need grace. And it pleases him. And all he wants us to do is to praise him for his mercy till we see him. Isn't that beautiful? I think that's becoming more simple to me moment by moment. Just to praise him for his mercy. To thank him for his wondrous grace. Now, in that, I love that there are families and the children of those families where we see the parents love all the kids the same. I love those kinds of families where you have a mom and dad that truly have the love of God, that'll love those kids all the same. They don't play favorites. When you have a mom and a dad that have that kind of love, what happens is those children, they thrive. And what happens is when those children know that they're loved equally, those children love one another. They're not jealous of each other. They want each other to succeed and thrive. And I can testify by the grace of God, I was of that kind of family. My precious parents loved us all the same. They loved us in the full love of every bit within them to each and every child. I was thinking how I'm the youngest in my family. I have precious older siblings. Oh, they teased me at times. But because of the love that we were given, completely the same from our parents, God took care of all that. But being the youngest, I have two older brothers. I have two older sisters. And I think my sisters can say the same thing as well too. My precious brothers, I have one that is a lawyer and I have one that is a doctor. And they're not just a doctor and a lawyer. Because of the grace of God, they're about the best in their field that can be. And here I came along and, well, I think I want to be a musician. Well, in a lot of families, that would kind of look down upon. But because of my parents and their complete love for me. I never thought, well, my brothers were better than me. I never felt that my brothers were more gifted. I thank God because of the love that I was loved with, that they inspired me. That I was thankful that they gave me inspiration. And it made me thankful that they were my brothers, and thankful that the ones that are my sisters. And I thank God that I received, because of the love and the tightness in our family, that when my brothers were exalted in their fields, I was exalted with them. They weren't just out there on their own. I received as they were exalted. I received that praise to my heart. Those are my brothers. Now, that's what God does in a way that could never compare. That's why I thank the Lord for the love that He's working and continues to work in this meeting. When we truly are fully open to the fullness of the love of God, we will love one another with that same fullness. As much as God is for us, we will take that same love to be for one another. As my brother or my sister is exalted by the grace of God, I'm exalted with them. I thank the Lord. And yet, when there's sorrow that comes, and sometimes there's trial that comes, I thank God that we partake in that too. That's not just family. That's called one. Now, but you see, when parents, and I'm talking about parents that are way off, when they favor one child over another, you know what happens? There's jealousy. And there's hatred. And there's lots of other things. Greatest dysfunction in families I've ever seen often comes from parents that weren't right in loving their children. If you're from that kind of a family, my heart goes out to you. But the thing is, let me tell you something. We have one Father, and that's the Father of us all. And I thank God that we can trust Him. That is our life that is hid in Christ. So, I thank God, this is who we are. And now, Galatians 3:28, where we started, it's so precious because, you know what? It eliminates any perceived differences that we think might be about us in Christ. Let's go back and read it again. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. You think the Lord's trying to get something through? I do. I believe that the Lord is trying to really impress upon us, honeys, there's no division in me. Let me tell you something. You're one in me. You have it all. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. He is the God that, hallelujah, when we have that new birth, when we're born of God, I thank the Lord that He assures us in Galatians 4:1 that we are all born Lord of all. We have every provision. Hallelujah. All of that promise, all of His backing, it's all there. And all we have to do is to believe so simply the love that was expressed by our precious Savior, Father, that they would know that You love them as You loved me. Amen? Do you really believe that? I mean, do you really take that to heart? Do you really stand on that love? Oh, I pray we do. I pray by the grace of God, that is our song, it's our rejoicing, it's our thanksgiving every single moment. God loves me. And He loves me because of His Son. And He put me in His Son. He put me in Christ, in the thing that He loves the most. That everything is invested in His Son. And in the investment in His Son, everything is invested in you. Praise His name. I almost can't contain it. how much that he loves us and provides for us. And yet, here we go. We think about the enemy's tricks. But see, I don't like to focus on the enemy's tricks. I'd rather just stand on the promises of God and know that enemy is but a fool. And we are not ignorant of the enemy's devices. But what devices are they? They're devices that try to divide. And any time the enemy can get us to be looking at ourselves, looking at our flesh, let me tell you something. He'll succeed in dividing. As we begin here in this verse, think about how the Jew and the Gentile have been so divided all these years. No other people have been hated and persecuted like the Jew. We know that the Word of God tells us it's because they're God's people. But yet God protects them, and God will continue to, because God has a promise to the Jew. Then you think about, in looking at our own flesh, how the enemy has used, time and time again, the color of our skin to separate us and divide us. All I can do is I say, you know, Lord, thank you for the riches in my family of God, that out of every kindred, tongue, and nation, praise his name. I always say, Jesus, thank you. We've got treasure. And yet, the division goes on. The enemy, if he can't get you one way, he'll try another. And how apparent what's going on right now. Think of how the world has turned men against women. But I thank God, as he's told us, you know what, honeys? In me, there's neither male nor female. It's time to settle down in Christ. Gotten to the point where there's literally hatred between men and women, envying between men and women. But yet Christ has taken that away. And finally, you think about bond or free. Brothers and sisters, there is no difference whether we have or whether we don't have in Christ. It doesn't matter what our line of work is. But you see how the world, and it is the enemy, has turned the poor against the rich and the rich against the poor. Once again, the enemy only trying to divide. I thank the Lord for his reality for us in Christ. There is none of that. We're one. And I thank God. It is one spirit and it is one baptism. And in that oneness, as we're going to grow on here tonight a little bit more, we by grace follow the one mark for the prize. That Christ in you, Christ in me, the same Christ, the one hope of glory. Now, thinking of this and how this oneness that we have in Christ, and how the Lord encouraged us as we began tonight, that ye may be perfect in one, how much of that fullness in Christ could there be? Well, I thank the Lord as he goes on through the Apostle Paul. Do you know that we can be fully purposed in that in Christ? Do you realize that by the grace of God, we can be filled with all the fullness of God in Christ? That praise be to God, you talk about a double portion and a hundredfold. That my, oh my, what we have been drawn into, if we will just lay hold, oh my. We can be as those that truly have the desire to be perfect in one. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, reading from verse 4, the Apostle Paul. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Man, I love that. I mean, you don't have to be scattered. You know, they used to call it scatterbrain. You don't have to be scattered here. It's real focused. God is really focused, and he's focused on you in his Son. So there's one body, there's one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. The one who's bringing this out right now, praise God, the Apostle Paul. The one that was given that wonderful mystery of Christ. As it says there in Colossians, what was given to Paul fulfilled, it completed the word of God. The things that were hidden from the sons of men. The things that the angels wanted to look into. I always think and smile. There was the ones like Daniel and Isaiah and those sweet prophets. They wrote those things and they wanted to look into them. They knew that there was more into the depth of the things that they were writing. But as the word of God says, they wrote those things for us. And I pray you put your name there. They wrote those things for Jesse. If I was the only one, God had written that for me because he loved me that much. Wanted that for me. Wanted me to have that best. But here's what it comes to. You are called in one hope of your calling. Isn't that marvelous? We don't have to try to go over here and think of what is my calling and what is this. And we're going to talk about that calling in a minute, but let's just skip right there in heart. We know what that calling is. It's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Once again, who was that? The Apostle Paul. Who was that to show us? The one who was the chiefest sinner. Who was that to show us? It was only the grace of God that was with me. God took the one that never could have merited anything from God but hell itself. Because he was the chief of sinner. Because he was the one that was trying to merit favor with God by works and acts of his own self-righteousness. But the Lord took the beautiful, perfect one, the chief of sinner, to show and magnify, I can give and build and create in that. Christ in Paul, the hope of glory. Magnificent. And here he's telling us, we are all called in one hope. In one hope of your calling. One Lord, verse 5. One faith. Wow, that's interesting, isn't it? If there's only one faith, how could you have multi-faith worship? You can't. It doesn't work. You can have multi-beliefs, but not faith. There is but one faith, and that's in Jesus Christ. So one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's another thought. I know there's places say you have to be baptized in our tank, or this tank. Or in this church, or in that church. No, you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank God. That's the baptism we have. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and praise be to God in you all. Well, I'll tell you what, with all those ones, all I can say is, man, it's one. I don't get confused. There's no reason to get confused. See, winds of doctrine get you confused. God is exact. It's narrow. It's precise. This isn't just a free-for-all of how we're going to go to God. And we're going to, well, you go figure out what you're going to. Read the word of God. What does the word of God say? Know it. Study it. I don't want to go out to argue it. I just want to rejoice in it. But there's a lot of winds of doctrine. There were some wonderful denominations that started out a long time ago, but they've gotten so far from the truth because they got into organization, controlling people, growing. Once you get into trying to grow something, you're going to miss what God has. God's about the gold, silver, and the precious stone. He is not about that immense wood, hay, and stubble. He's looking for the sincerity that's in the heart. I know man is looking on the outward appearance. They always want to go by feeling. But the Lord is looking for those who go by faith. Oh, Jesus, help us to be those that would go by faith, that truly would want to please the Father. Now, one calling, the hope of his calling, that's the one. Isn't that interesting? It's the hope of his calling, isn't it? I love that. And we understand here that his calling is the hope of your calling. And I thank God that in that we know that, praise God, that that high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that is my calling. It's that vocation, hallelujah, that Paul talks about in Colossians 1. You know, let's just go ahead and turn there. I love that. Where is that? Let's go over there. Now we're going to have to get the glasses out. Where am I thinking here? Who hath called us? Redemption, the very image. Visible thrones. I got my precious brother out there. Where is that that I'm looking for, my brother? That vocation wherewith we are called. That's what I'm looking for. Well, by the grace of God, you know what I'm saying. We have that vocation. Where is that now? Ephesians 4:1. I apologize. Ephesians 4:1. Thank you, sweet lady. It says right there, therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. God always has this calling. God always has this immense heart, this intensity. Praise God for what he desires for his children. And this hope of his calling ends up so sweetly in Philippians. We go on to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. To know the riches of the glory that we have been called to. That's what the hope of his calling is. You think about the perfected in one. Who are the Philippian saints? They're the war horses. They're the thoroughbreds, if you will. Let's go ahead and turn on over to Philippians 2:2. As it says there, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Look at that. Fulfill ye my joy. This is the Apostle Paul talking about that joy unspeakable and full of glory that the Lord has given him. The love for the head, the same as the love for the body. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. So what we have here is the same agape love, the same first love. And this word accord, we find in the word of God, what it means there is it means the same passion. It means the same mind. It means the same purpose. We are so one in grace, and we're talking about the partakers of Paul's grace, that we finally arrive at Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 13, where Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Isn't it beautiful how it keeps going back to one? It's a singleness of mind. There's just that one hope of your calling. There is just this one thing that he's purposed to do. And he's encouraging us to take that same grace, to have that same fully purpose as the war horse that goes forward to win the race. What is that one thing I do? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He leaves us no doubt here what that mark is, what that prize is. I thank the Lord that this truly, brothers and sisters, is imperative to us if we really are going to be the fully grown Huios sons of God. We have one identity as Christians, and that's him. That's it. None other. In Christ, praise God, filled with all the fullness of God, the fullness of the reality that we are in Christ. Any other thing that defines you might just be the thing that defeats you from God's best. First love is just that. It's him and his body. That's what it is. It prefers, praise God, that to the place that that is the only thing in life that is altogether lovely. The enemy is set out to try to divide us any way he can. And I hate to say it, but he's good at his work. And I'm speaking of with the people of God. But see, when we don't settle down in Scripture, what's going to happen is we're going to justify in our own minds and our lives of why somehow you have a special excuse to go ahead and divide, to go ahead and separate. For whatever choice that you think you need to make, because somehow the Word of God is exempt, you're exempt to that encouragement that really is the reality of us all in Christ. That there isn't a division in him. That there isn't male or female in him. That there isn't Jew or Greek in him. That there isn't bond nor free in him. We're all one in Christ. I rejoice in that. Because that's where the true love is found. And I think this last encouragement we come to tonight is truly the greatest of evidence of the ones that are ready and love his appearing. And I'm going to say it like this. It's the sun glory made one in the few that are looking for the first appearing from heaven. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. It says here, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Did you notice that here? See, when the day of Pentecost was come, they weren't here, there, and everywhere. Something was coming. There was something special that was very special that was being sent from heaven. And there was only one place that it was going to be received, and it was only going to be received by those in one accord in one place. See, to get to that place, you had to be in one accord. And I believe we just read what that word accord means. That one passion. That first love. You want to see the appearing of something in heaven when God's going to send it? You better be in one passion and one first love. Now, this is speaking of those 120, that little teeny handful that was gathered up in that upper room. And what they were waiting for was the promise of the Holy Ghost that was going to be sent from heaven. I want you to think about that just for a little bit. 120. There were only 120 that were in that upper room to receive the Holy Ghost. You think about how many had heard Jesus preach for those 3.5 years. You think about how many saw and heard of Jesus who lived 33 years. Let me tell you something. Him doing things over the time of his life, the miracles he did, I would have to venture and guess, I'm sure millions at that day heard of that. I'm confident there were ones, and I'm talking about upward of 1 million or more, that knew that this guy said he was the Messiah. That this man Jesus claimed he was the Son of God. They knew of the disciples, and let me tell you something. They knew of the cross. And here is the promise of the coming of the Holy Ghost that Jesus Christ himself told those disciples would come. And there were only 120. Out of those millions, there was just that tiny remnant of gold, silver, and precious stone that were expecting that promise. That's it. But see, that's all how it always is with the remnant and those who receive the appearing from heaven. Those that are in one accord one spirit in one place. And it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Brothers and sisters, our day, the Lord's day, is just about fully come. It's all, I'll tell you, it's all here. I'm just waiting for them to announce that they're going to start that sacrifice over there in Jerusalem. Praise be to God. Could happen at any moment. You know that. Who knows what might come through this time right now? You think about how fast this virus came upon this place, this world. All these things going on in such a hectic manner. Could it be that in all of this chaos, it might go forth that they announce, well, we better do it now. We need something mighty to happen. And there goes the sacrifice right back in Jerusalem. Are you looking up? Are you looking up? Are you looking up? Now, that day, the Lord's day we look for. Notice here they were all together. That means they were one. One. Our calling till we all come. Huh? Isn't that what Paul said? Till we all come. See, they were all together. And see, the bridal company, believe it or not, it really is all together. It really is all together. There's no schisms, praise God. She's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Oh, yes. And you know what? They're in one accord. They have one mind. The bridal company has one passion. It's the same passion as the Apostle Paul. It's the same passion that Paul said, oh, that exalted rank of righteousness crown is given unto me, but not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Could have even said to all them also that are in one accord with my gospel. Oh, amen. It's the mark for the prize. The mark for the prize is always a little handful. And thanks be to God, just like they were in one place to get it, our upper room, because they went to the upper room, Paul's gospel is the one place. Paul's gospel is the upper room. It's the upper chamber. And get this about the upper room, where those 120 were. It's the place the few always wait for the appearing of the Lord. The upper room is the highest part of the building. It's the crown. Praise be to God. It's the place. This is the best thing. The upper room, if you look it up, is the place where the woman resided. The upper room is the place called the upper chamber, where the woman resides for the husband. I can only ask the Lord tonight in Jesus' name, God, make us perfect in one. Perfect in one. I'm praying, especially for those of God's precious people that know this bridal truth. Here tonight, because of some of the things that have transpired, we're unable to gather with crowds. We're limited here. God's never limited, though. But I was missing you at the moment the lights went on. But I'm praying in Jesus' name that there'll be a longing for the saints, that there will be an increase, that maybe having any type of hypocrisy in our love to one another, God really used this time in such a monumental way to get rid of it. that somehow we've been kind of dividing up and maybe not really wanting to gather to really take an account of where our state really is. Am I loving his appearing? Am I in this one accord as the Word of God calls us to? The hope of your calling, that one accord being made perfect in one in Paul's gospel? It's a narrow way. It's a mark that is so precise for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But yet, thanks be to God, it's there for all. That's the beautiful thing. God didn't intend for it to be an exclusive thing. Every child of God was born to have it. He's not a respecter of person. He said, I would that all men would come, be saved, and come to the full knowledge of the truth. That is the God that so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I think, how could I sit back and not want to fully go after him and trust him in this time and not be encumbered, to lay aside every weight, that sin that so easily besets us? And I'll tell you what, your flesh is wide open, just like mine is, to any of that sin that wants to divide me and get me away from looking at what he wanted, Father, that they would be made perfect in one. That's why you press. You reach. It's grace. We need more love, don't we? We need more love. And that's what that is. It's not me doing or trying. It's pressing into more of that love and more of that grace and more of that mercy. And surrendering to what the Lord in his word gives us. We're one. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor female. There's neither male nor female, or bond or free. We're one in Christ. And I thank God for that. We need to fight. And fight the good fight of faith in this. This flesh will always lie to you. And I'll tell you what, somebody else's flesh will lie to you too. No matter how good a friend they are, or how good a guy that they've always been in your life. When they try to separate you from the people of God, and when they try to separate you from Paul's gospel, they are not doing you a favor. God help us to find true comfort in the whole counsel of God. This is very vital and important of all of the studies that we've had in Christ. This is, I believe that it really can be that last cut. That last cut of the diamond. And you need to receive it. You go unto him, you'll go out from among the camp. You go unto him, you'll go past the daughters of Jerusalem. You go unto him and truly you'll be at a place, as Jesus said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Huh? And then he looked out to them that were of him. There they were. That's who they were. And here is what we have been drawn into. Oh my. God help us to press in. Brothers and sisters, we've been called to a rib portion. The very closest part to the heart of God. I love that. The love. The grace, the mercy. Out of that flowed that water and blood. The Lord help us to truly just press in. Pray for one another. Ask God to increase that love in you. God, help that life of Christ in me, the hope of glory, to live by the faith of the Son of God and not by the feelings of my flesh. That we are at this precious time, that I only want to be found having only His righteousness. That I'm not a man pleaser. That I'm not even here to please my family. But I want to please the Father. And I'll tell you what, if we'll go holy after His Son, you couldn't please the Father anymore. We're one in Christ. And by the grace of God, in Jesus' name, Lord, make us perfect in one. If you bow your heads with me, we'll dismiss. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you again for this precious time. We're grateful for your word. Your word and the word of your grace, which builds us up, gives us that inheritance. Oh God, this wonderful masterpiece among all them that are sanctified. Lord, let us truly at this time just to be still and know that you're God. Lord, you bring us through everything. Lord, you're the God of joy, unspeakable and full of glory. You're the God that always brings the better. You're the God that prepares the way, or he prepared the place. And Lord, now, by the grace of God, let that faith reign that we would just walk in it. Lord, we praise you for your word. And God, only you can make it quickened and alive in us. And we do ask you in Jesus' name, by the power of your might, let it come forth. Let it be something that would live and abide abundantly in us. Cause us to be a people that's beginning to lift our eyes to the hill from where our help cometh, and even a little higher, God, looking for the soon appearing of our beloved bridegroom. We give you all the thanks. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.